Howdy, all persons have business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Draw an eye and give your attention, for this court is now in session. God save the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. Court will recognize Mr. Kerry Sklar.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Kerry Sklar, counsel to the clerk of the court. And this morning it is my pleasure to move the admission to the bar of this court of Mr. Anthony C. Charay, Jr. Mr. Charay is a member, recent member, of the bar of the great state of Florida. And I am satisfied that Mr. Charay meets all the necessary requirements for admission to the bar of this court, and therefore move his admission.
Very well. Welcome, Mr. Charay. The clerk will now administer the oath.
Charay, will you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will conduct yourself as an attorney and counselor of this court, uprightly, according to the law, the rules of this court, and that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States?
I do.
Welcome to the bar, and congratulations on your success with the Florida bar examination. And it's a pleasure to have you as part of the court family. In the future, we will look forward to perhaps you even coming before the court representing veterans. The court is here assembled to hear the case of Sersley versus Nicholson. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Would you please state your name for the records?
Landon Overby on behalf of the appellant, Jim Sersley. Joining me today at counsel's table is Zachary Stokes.
Kenneth Walsh for the secretary with Ed Cassidy, Your Honors.
Very well. Mr. Overby, do you you have 30 minutes. Do you request to reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to request 10 minutes of my time to be reserved for rebuttal, if I may.
Very well. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. The court should reverse the decision of the Board of Veterans' Appeals that concluded Mr. Sersley is not entitled to more than one clothing allowance. The facts in this case are not in dispute. Mr. Sersley is service-connected for amputations of his right and left lower extremities and of his left upper extremity. These were incurred as a result of a landmine explosion in Vietnam. The board decided Mr. Sersley's appeal on one basis. The board interpreted 38 U.S.C.A. section 1162 and concluded as a matter of law that Mr. Sersley is not entitled to more than one clothing allowance. The board's interpretation of section 1162 is legally incorrect. The law provides that the secretary, under regulations which the secretary shall prescribe, shall pay a clothing allowance of $662 per year to each veteran who, because of a service-connected disability, wears or uses a prosthetic or orthopedic appliance, including a wheelchair, which the secretary determines to wear out or tear the clothing of the veteran.
So let me ask you a question about that then.
Yes, sir.
If he had a double amputation of the arms, left and right.
That is correct.
And you're saying that he would be entitled to $650 for each arm?
That is correct. If he had a prosthetic appliance that the secretary determined wore out or tore the clothing.
And the clothing allowance that's contemplated in 1162 would not be directed to an item of clothing that would, say, be worn on the upper torso.
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I don't believe so because it's focusing on the clothing allowance because of a service-connected disability, because of a prosthetic or orthopedic appliance. Unfortunately,
if I can interrupt then, as your client is a triple amputee, how many clothing allowances is he seeking at the moment?
In this present case, I would suggest that Mr. Sersley is entitled to just two. And if I can explain, the focus here is a service-connected disability and the prosthetic appliance. In Mr. Sursley's case, the prosthetic appliance for his bilateral lower extremity amputations is the wheelchair. He does not presently wear prosthesis on the lower extremities. Again, however, the board never reached that decision. They only decided on the interpretation of the statute itself. I believe that that's a factual matter for the board to determine in the first instance. But we believe the plain language of the statute, the meaning of the terms, the ordinary meaning of the terms, is that a veteran who has a service-connected disability and wears a prosthetic appliance or orthopedic appliance, including the wheelchair, if they have more than one service-connected disability, they're entitled to a clothing allowance for each particular service-connected disability.
Under your interpretation of the statute, if a veteran were to have a disability that required a prosthetic orthopedic device that wore out clothing and had a skin condition that damaged his outer garments on the same body part as the clothing that wore out because of the prosthetic appliance, you know, like say both arm and torso or whatever, would that veteran be entitled to two clothing allowances?
I would suggest that that veteran would be. I think it falls back, especially if you look at the way VA actually used to do it before Congress enacted 1162 or then 362, is that the individual would go in and get their clothing repaired by the Veterans Administration. So one day, if the veteran had a rip or tear due to the prosthetic appliance, they'd take the piece of clothing in to the department, they'd get it repaired, or they'd get it replaced. Sometime later, if the skin condition would affect the actual piece of clothing, be able to replace that clothing. And I think the same extent here, it's twice as likely that that individual, in your hypothetical, is going to damage their clothing. And there's nothing that limits in the statute to one clothing allowance.
Can you point to anything other than the prior clothing policy of the Department of Veterans Affairs to help us understand what Congress intended in this particular?
Unfortunately, the legislative history is very scant in that regard. There's no discussion as to, in particular, more than one. There's no discussion as to limited to just one.
I believe there is some legislative history of subsequent to the implementation of the current policy that Congress later on conducted some oversight activity to look at how frequently VA was awarding this benefit and encouraged greater outreach by the department. Considering that level of congressional involvement and the policy of the department was to provide one clothing allowance total, can we read anything into that?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with the history that you're talking about.
Okay, well, maybe 3 years, 4 years subsequent to the enactment of the current clothing allowance, Congress went back and worked with VA and conducted oversight of how many people did the department think were eligible based on the diagnostic codes awarded for disabilities, and determined that a certain number were receiving it, and was that sufficient or insufficient. And there was no discussion about, you know, were these single amputees, double amputees, were they entitled to one or more? But there was no discussion that the way that the agency was implementing the policy was not appropriate.
Well, I think in that respect, I think it's a matter of, similar to what the Supreme Court addressed in Brown v. Gardner, is that just the longstanding practice, that obviously, I'm assuming that no one ever brought a challenge to say, yes, they're entitled to more than one. And obviously, as we know, for many years, VA was screened from having their cases reviewed by this particular court. And this is the first challenge, to my knowledge, that has ever been brought before this court.
Thank you.
And we believe that given the ordinary meaning of the words, and absent some indication from Congress otherwise, that the language, they could have used the language service-connected disabilities, but they failed to do so. And that language of a clothing allowance because of a service-connected disability and a prosthetic appliance means that if that prosthetic appliance wears out or tears the clothing because of that service-connected disability, then the Secretary shall pay that veteran a clothing allowance.
And the regulation doesn't make a distinction either.
I don't think, I think the regulation more or less paraphrases the language of the statute. And I would suggest that when the secretary has the expertise to implement a regulation and fails to do so and merely paraphrases the language of the statute, we're talking once again back to the statutory language.
Mr. Overby, if the secretary reads the statute that we're talking about a single clothing allowance, he basically is powerless to implement regulations contrary to the congressional dictate, if you will. Is that true?
I'm sorry.
If the secretary reads the statute that the veteran is entitled to one clothing allowance, and that's the clear meaning of the statute that we're dealing with, he virtually is powerless to implement regulations contrary to that legislative enactment, doesn't he?
If the actual statute said one clothing allowance,
yeah.
I think if the secretary wanted to prescribe a regulation such as 38 CFR 3.810 and say the statute, we interpret it in our regulation to mean one clothing allowance because of a service-connected disability. But I still don't believe that the secretary can escape the fact that it's a service-connected disability and the prosthetic component that's being considered. And
so is it your position then that Congress intended for there to be a clothing allowance for each disability that a veteran may have that otherwise qualified him for that?
That is correct. And that's based clearly on the language of the statute.
In addition to what he's receiving through the diagnostic code?
That is correct. I think the diagnostic criteria is compensating the veteran for the average impairment in earning capacity. The clothing allowances to recompense those individuals who tend to wear out and tear their clothing as a result of their service-connected disabilities.
I'm going to ask you, and then I'll ask your opposing counsel the converse.
Sure.
Couldn't it potentially lead to an absurd result of a veteran receiving five clothing allowances for the same body part, you know, or more or whatever?
Skin condition, I still don't think that would lead to an absurd result, because a skin condition is a service-connected disability, and if the skin condition affected the upper garments as well as the lower outer garments, the person's still entitled to only one clothing allowance.
Right. I'm speaking more of the situation of somebody, you know, if they're a double amputee who sits in a wheelchair who also wears a skin condition. I don't know. I'm just trying to hypothesize sort of the outer limits of what such an interpretation could result in.
I don't think that it could be an absurd result. I mean, we're talking about a very minimal amount of money paid out to the, as Congress recognized, seriously disabled veterans who for so long were pretty much only having their clothes repaired. And again, back to that concept, the concept was they would repair it. Clothing costs have increased, and still it's a minimal amount of money that a veteran who has multiple service-connected disabilities that tends to wear out to tear the clothing due to, whether it's a skin condition using ointments or pretty much in this particular case, the prosthetic appliance or the orthopedic appliance, the likelihood of their clothing being damaged is greater.
Well, if the link is a service-connected disability that wears out clothing, in the case of a veteran who had a skin condition that wore out both shirts and trousers, under your interpretation, they would still only be entitled to one clothing allowance.
That is correct.
I'm having a hard time marrying the intent that would provide only one clothing allowance for a veteran who suffers from a skin disability that wears out tops and bottoms with the same intent that would provide a veteran who had two separate disabilities that resulted in wearing out of tops and bottoms would get two clothing allowances. That would seem like an unfair outcome.
Service-connected disability could possibly result in damaging the clothing. The just has to be on the language of the statute, and if the statute's unclear, the court would still have to resolve any ambiguity in favor of the veteran, since we're dealing with the statutory meaning.
Well, Counselor, in order to do that, we would have to accept your definition of A as meaning each versus A meaning one. And in the absence of legislative intent, I'm not sure how we get to that point.
Well, if the court is unable to get to that point, again, as we have argued previously, if that's the case, then we're talking about the meaning of the statute and interpreted that was to be resolved in favor of Mr. Sersley. If the language of the statute is unclear and the court can't decipher as to what the meaning of A is, then I would suggest to the court that the court would have to turn to the rule announced in Brown.
Well, there's no S on allowance.
I'm sorry.
Is there an S on allowance?
No, there is not.
Okay.
But there are also no S's on service-connected disability.
BIS.
But we would submit that Mr. Sersley is entitled to more than one clothing allowance based on the language of the statute. And in the alternative, the language is unclear that the court should resolve any interpretive doubt in favor of Mr. Sersley and reverse the board's conclusion of law and remand with further instructions to the board to conduct further proceedings and make the factual findings requisite as to how many clothing allowances Mr. Sersley is entitled to. There are no further questions.
Just a minute.
Sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Mr. Walsh?
Congress's intent and to resolve the dispute in this case. The language used by Congress, when read as a whole and not in selective sections or sound bites, clearly does not authorize the Secretary to pay multiple clothing allowances. So appellant's recourse is with Congress in this matter and not this court. The first clause in statutory section 1162 defines the benefit, and then the numbered clauses, which have to be read together with the first clause, and not apart from the first clause, define who is eligible. Appellant's interpretation in this case is based on his rewording of the statute. In his reply brief, he stated, when harmonized with the whole of section 1162, the plain meaning of the phrase, quote, a clothing allowance, end quote, read in conjunction with, quote, because of a service-connected disability, end quote, is that a veteran shall be paid a clothing allowance because of each service connected disability that requires the use of a prosthetic or orthopedic appliance. The problem there is appellant is doing the very thing that he's accused the Secretary of doing, which is not harmonizing and reading the statutory provision in its whole. Looking at statutory section 1162, the Secretary, pursuant to regulations he shall prescribe, shall pay a clothing allowance of the amount varies per year to each veteran. Who? And then it describes the veterans who would qualify for that clothing allowance. It says because of a service-connected disability. It does not say per a service-connected disability. It does not say for each service-connected disability. Because defines the minimum eligibility for that veteran to qualify under the first clause of this statutory section.
So, turning to my converse question, doesn't this result in certain veterans being potentially severely undercompensated for the resulting clothing that wears out from their service-connected disability?
Respectfully, Your Honor, no. It does not appear that Congress had the intent to make anyone whole, which is true of the entire veterans benefit scheme, unfortunate as that may be. defined as garments, not a garment. Clothing allowance would encompass multiple garments. That being the case, Congress intended in this case to have, unfortunately, looking at this particular veteran, a remarkably sympathetic veteran, a heroic veteran, unfortunately, Congress did not intend for the Secretary to be able to pay from the public fisc more than that single clothing allowance. Your Honor, you noted earlier the legislative history. Respectfully, the court need not go there. However, as the Secretary noted in his brief, Congressman noted the relatively low cost allowance. The legislative history in this case has been relatively hard to obtain, but going through looking at the section again where the Congress looked at the relative low cost, there is actually a cost estimate in the legislative history upon which Congress would have relied back in 1972 when they formulated the language for this statute. Looking at the legislative history, the cost estimate before Congress was $6.6 million. However, looking at how the math was done, there was an estimate that Congress sought from the agency of how many veterans would likely be eligible for this allowance in the first year. And again, in the legislative history, it explicitly says 44,000 veterans were estimated to be eligible. 44,000 at 150 per allowance equals $6.6 million, which Congress believed to be the total cost for this program. And therefore, while that is not necessarily controlling, it is something beyond the language of the statute that the court could consider in rejecting appellant's alternate proposal as to what the statutory intent of Congress was. After all, the court's role, Your Honors, is not to look at every possible permutation of the language, but to try and get to the intent of Congress in providing this statutory.
Now, was that at the time of the shift from special clothing, or when they used to bring the clothing in and have them repaired, to actually providing the allowance?
No, Your Honor, this was this was when Congress created the current benefit. The previous benefit was not, to the best of my knowledge, congressionally created. It was a program that the agency appeared to do. To the best of my knowledge, there was no congressional basis for it. If there was, I don't think it would be consequential. But this is the original basis for Congress's creation of the benefit in 1162.
In your brief, you indicate that sections 1110 and 1114 provide some sort of contextual guidance for how we might interpret this provision. Can you please further expand upon that?
The main point, Your Honors, in the Secretary's brief in that regard was that Congress knew how to make multiple allowances or additional payments available, and when it chose to do so, it was clear from the statutory language that it was doing so, such as 1114 subsection K, where Congress explicitly provided for additional compensation where there was more than one disability at issue.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Your Honors, the examples that the Chief Judge and Judge Schoen raised do in fact show that to read additional clothing allowances would not make a lot of sense. Not to add on to the parade of horribles, but it does seem that Congress's intent would not logically be to have a veteran with minor damage. Not that any damage is truly minor. The Secretary doesn't mean to take away from the dignity of a veteran, but a veteran with two arm appliances compared to a veteran who's lost his legs and is in a wheelchair. And a wheelchair typically would destroy or wear both tops and bottoms. It does not appear that it was Congress's intent to reward one veteran more than another in that regard. Further, appellant seems to be relying on a false dichotomy between tops and bottoms. Congress makes no reference to separate payments for shirts versus pants. And there certainly leaves out veterans who may wear dresses or other types of clothing that certainly don't fit into the dichotomy, but certainly are choices that veterans may choose to make in their apparel. The bottom line here, though, is Congress did not intend for the agency to be giving this much scrutiny. Congress intended this to be a straightforward benefit where any veteran who is determined to qualify doesn't have to show their clothing expenses, doesn't have to show, you know, that they, even if their expenses somehow fall below the statutory rate, as unlikely as that would seem. Conversely, it also doesn't allow the Secretary to pay for veterans whose clothing costs exceed the statutory rate.
Do you agree with the proposition that the regulation 3.810 doesn't really add anything to this portion of the discussion?
Your Honor, the court should look at it this way. To the extent that the statute is read to be clear, as the Secretary has stated, it wouldn't add more. But to the extent that the court were to somehow find that the statute were ambiguous, that ambiguity, should it exist, cannot be similarly imprinted on the regulation. The regulation, respectfully, appears to be that much more clearer as to its breakdown of this is the benefit at the top, and these are the minimum criteria to get that benefit. It's difficult to read the regulation as, frankly, Your Honors, it's difficult to read the statute as providing for multiple clothing allowances. But should the court do that, the Secretary respectfully submits that it's near impossible to read the regulation to allow multiple benefits.
Is there any particular language you can point to in the regulation?
Your Honor, again, looking at the slightly different the slightly different phrasing of the regulation as what's in the top section versus what's in the lower section. A veteran who has a service-connected disability is entitled to an annual clothing allowance as specified in statutory 1162. The clothing allowance is payable in lump sum, and the following eligibility criteria must also be met. And I suppose, Your Honor, if you were to accept appellant's interpretation that it's per disability, maybe there isn't a difference. But certainly, to the extent that it could be read, that there would be any inference that the multiple appliances would make a difference versus one appliance, I think you'd certainly have to read it differently. Does that make sense, Your Honor?
Yes.
As the Chief Judge noted earlier, there is no S on allowances. The agency has never interpreted there to be an availability of more than one clothing allowance. As Judge Shulman noted, Congress has, in some capacity, reviewed what the agency was doing in this regard, and while it's certainly not determinative, there is a statutory construction that if Congress looks at something and does not change it, there is some inference, to what extent I'm not sure, that Congress was satisfied that its law was being followed. While that's not controlling, the Secretary respectfully submits that the statutory language in this case certainly is controlling. Your Honor, again, looking at appellant's rewording of the statute, it's important to note that it required rewording to get to his result. The Secretary respectfully submits that while that may be a result that Congress should consider in the future, that as written, it would take a great exercise to get to his result as opposed to the straight statutory language.
All right. Anything else?
Your Honors, if there are no further questions, the Secretary respectfully requests that the Court affirm this case. Thank you very much.
Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you, Your Honors. A few minor points that I'd like to point out. The Secretary speaks that to the intent of Congress, and where, in fact, there is little or none as to the Congress's intent. The plain language of the statute, while the Secretary suggests does not authorize more than one clothing allowance, it is not limited to a single clothing allowance. If looking at the language alone of the statute, and I would suggest that it's not necessarily a soundbite, it's reading the statute as a whole. A clothing allowance because of a service-connected disability due to the prosthetic or orthopedic appliance. True, if Congress had put an S after allowances, I think that would be an absurd result, or clothing allowances because of a service-connected disability. But that's not what Congress did. Congress left the language plain to state a clothing allowance because of a service-connected disability for each veteran because of the prosthetic appliance. And even if the language of the statute is not plain on its face, and again noting that there is very scant legislative history behind this statute, any interpretive doubt would have to be resolved in favor of the veteran. Mr. Searcy.
Counselor, let me ask you this. having spent some time in the legislative arena, it seems to me that the counsel for the Secretary's fiscal impact statement, 44,000 multiplied by a certain amount of money, is going to result in a program that's going to cost the taxpayer X number of dollars.
That is correct.
That's fairly persuasive legislative history, don't you think?
I would suggest to the Court that it may be, but this is also a case in which the Secretary, or at the time the Administrator, opposed this legislation, so there's no true explanation as to why that amount was given in particular. Maybe that's how the Secretary or the Administrator thought they would apply it, but it didn't suggest to Congress by any means, or Congress didn't say we adopt one clothing allowance, no matter how many disabilities.
But Congress and those considering this proposed legislation would have had that information before them, before the program or the legislation was voted on. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yes. But we submit that Mr. Searcy is entitled to have the Court read the plain language of the statute to mean that he's entitled to more than one clothing allowance. And in the alternative, nonetheless, even if the Court were to find the language unclear and ambiguous, the Court should resolve any interpretive doubt in reading the statute to read that it's entitling Mr. Searcy to more than one clothing allowance. There are no further questions.
None. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. We'll greet the bar, and then the Court will be adjourned.
Thank you.